What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another action-packed episode of Dark Sunsets. JR.
What is good, J-Rob? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. Good to see you, man. It's finally good to see you with sleeves on. You know, every time I come here and we record, normally just the arms are just exposed and out.
Listen, it's Florida. The clothes are terrible. It's too hot. It's too itchy. I'd rather just be, you know, in as least clothes as possible. So sun's out, guns out, definitely.
You're fucking winning, brother. That's good to see. So, yeah, everything's good with us. It's been a great summer so far. 4th of July was wild. It was a good time. We're obviously here recording in Florida on a hot evening, mid-July. But we have definitely an action-packed episode coming up with some fun tales coming up here. So just to get into it, obviously we want to give out shout-outs to Guacamole, first off.
Guacamole Tacos.
We love you, definitely. So let's get into it. And as always,
the dark of the sunsets, the bright of the days.
So let's do this, ladies and gentlemen. So episode here that we have, we definitely want to kick this off with the meat behind this episode, which is a fun article and a fun tale that we've been reading and talking about and laughing about here, which is Area 51 Gate.
Yes, it's been just kind of like a snowball going downhill. It's just been picking up speed. And this thing has gotten really out of hand. Basically, there's been... I guess it was like a Facebook event or whatever where people have been, calling for everybody possible to storm, the Nevada military base, everybody knows as Area 51. And, it's like that secret area where there could be aliens, it could be just all sorts of stuff in there, but nobody knows. But yeah, for whatever reason, this Facebook, group or this Facebook event was created. And so all these people, do you know how many people it is that have signed up for
that? Yeah, so as of Wednesday, we're recording here on a Thursday. So as of Wednesday morning, over 1.5 million people said they were attending the event called Storm Area 51, They Can't Stop All of Us. Hate to break the news to you, Facebook group. Yes, they can stop all of you. Yes, they will stop all of you. So here's what I don't understand about this whole group and what's happening. So the event... we're middle of July right now. The event is actually scheduled for September 20th at 3 a.m. Pacific daytime. So literally at 3 a.m. in the morning, there's going to be, over 1.5 million people according to this. Let me ask you this. Do you feel as if out of those 1.5 million people, how many of those do you think are bluffing and just saying they're going to go? Where there's going to be like Doug and Chad who just show up and there's only just going to be two people?
Well, so I see this going one of two ways. It's either going to go where, however many people decide to storm it, it's going to be, nerve gas, tear gas, rubber bullets, and then if they continue to go past that point, then probably people are going to get shot. Or option two is the government might just open the gates, let all those people in, close the gates, and we'll never see them again. You won't see them again. There won't be any like questions. Just everybody that was part of that event that went into there,
just gone.
And whatever happened to that storm in the Area 51? Peace. Like that's it.
I think so as well. I think it's going to go two ways, as you mentioned. I think it's either going to be a mass, not murder, but like a mass just
subduing.
Just detox of people who are just going to be in that scenario. So I have a feeling that what's going to happen is the people, the 1.5 million people, if they do barge into this zone in this area, that they're just going to disappear completely and entirely. So I'm interested to see what's going to happen, but it's going to be interesting, and I hope I don't know anybody out there who's going to be attending this. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the Air Force sent out a warning saying something about, any attempt to access the area is highly discouraged. And, I mean, that seems like a real general, not too serious warning. I almost feel like they're kind of baiting and switching. I feel like if they pull in this 1.5 million people, they open the gates, they get them on in there. They got new test subjects for all sorts of, alien this, Levitra, all sorts of drug trials. It's going to be crazy. Like, I don't even know.
So here's what I don't understand. So you think about like movies like Braveheart or 300 or any battle scene where there's, thousands of people who are running at something to try to either conquer or overcome and take on. With 1.5 million people, half of these people, because they don't know where Area 51 is specifically located, are either going to be dehydrated or just like completely just drown out. I mean, if there's that many people, there's going to be your stragglers who are going to die off in a little bit here.
And I mean, all the people that are going to try to run and storm it, whatever, they definitely will you know, pass out probably. I mean, and they're probably not even conditioned. I don't see a lot of people training. You know, it's like hit the gym up, you know, get that elliptical, like try some out.
These 1.5 million people, out of these 1.5 million people, none of them have a fitness membership at any type of gym locally to them. But we do actually have someone special here who knows a lot about this Area 51 movement and what's happening and can categorize it for us a little bit. We do have a special guest here. So do you want to introduce him?
Yeah, this is the official Area 51 specialist. We call him the doctor, but David is in the building.
Welcome, David. Welcome to Dark Sunsets.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. Appreciate
Absolutely. So we obviously wanted to just touch on this topic here, as JR and I were just mentioning, and you know a lot about not only this Area 51 gate, if you will, but you know some insight that you want to share with us.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, certainly you know that you're going to have all kinds when you have something like this pop up, but you can really follow this online, and almost all these followers are the same type of people you're going to see at pretty much any music festival. And I know you guys are worried about the dehydration, you know, people not making it, but I've seen the skinniest white girl you've ever seen survive on 3 chicken tenders and half a water bottle for 3 days with drugs in the desert. They're not going to have a problem. The problem is just the security levels. And that's like, let's be real, they've already moved all the good stuff away anyways. They know what's up.
So do you think that, like, as you're mentioning there, you've seen those girls with living off of a chicken tender and just minimal stuff. Do you think, and this is obviously conspiracy theory in my mind, do you think EDC festivals are training events for this Area 51 gate coming up here?
Absolutely. Look at the lights when you go there, man. I feel like you're in outer space for sure.
I think it could be. I mean, you think about, like, what these girls wear when they go to these festivals and just the lights that are happening. But all in all, I think a lot of these people are essentially going to either be killed or we're never going to see them again.
Yeah. And the one thing I always wonder is, you know, I'm sure all these other people kind of try to wonder about, oh, what is behind, you know, the gates at Area 51? If they've kept it such a good secret for this long, do you think that they're going to let you just storm the gates and come in?
Yeah, do you think Pamela from Michigan is going to be able to get in with the 1.5 million people? Fuck no.
I think it's a wrap. I mean, so, you know, the event scheduled for September 20th, like you mentioned, my birthday is September 24th. It'd be a nice early birthday gift if these people
to go missing.
Some common sense, you know, before they do some just dropping off the face of the United States. Like, they're just, oh, where'd they go? We don't know.
So as we have this article, we're going to summarize this story here, but since we have the doctor on right now, what are your thoughts about Area 51? And do you think this is a real thing? And do you think these people are actually going to make it?
I think there's going to be two outcomes, and that's either going to be a complete takeover where we get everything we've always wanted, trying to find out every secret we've ever wanted to find out, or everyone's going to die. But I promise you one thing, that the memes are going to be so fire that it won't matter. It'll all we'll be talking about for years.
The meme game will be strong. It's a hot take.
That you heard it first from the doctor, straight up. So speaking of out of this world and just the chaos and pandemonium that's happening within our society, that definitely leads us into our next story here, which I am at shock to even talk about and to think of, because if you're like me and the regular person, you go shopping, you go to the grocery store. We're actually talking about this food licking epidemic.
Yeah, I mean, this pisses me off so much, but it also does, you know, the people that do stuff this dumb are also the same people that will record themselves doing it, so they'll get caught. So it's just like the common sense. My birthday, I said on the 24th, we just mentioned it for the Area 51. Start using some common sense with this, you know, but can you just sum it up for the listeners?
I mean, I think it's a combination of a couple things, but yeah, just that the way this has all started and come together is there's been a woman who initiated, and I wouldn't even say this is a challenge, but what she did was, it was a viral video of her licking the top of a gallon of Bluebell tin roof ice cream, right? So when you think about going down the frozen section of your local grocery store and you get a tub of ice cream, she actually essentially took one of those out, ripped open the top of it, licked it. But here's the catch that got me really torn and thrown off by this. So her friend not only watched her do this, she also recorded her do this. And the woman was quoted saying, yeah, I really did that, dot, dot, dot. So the ice cream itself is called Bluebell, right? So it's a famous Texas ice cream. So the girl goes, you can actually call it Flubell ice cream because I was sick with the flu last week. So these are the type of people that are doing these type of areas. So I'll let you continue with this, but she was the one that initiated this type of movement that's happening. But there was someone else, I think, in Louisiana that did something similar, or even locally here.
Well, yeah, so there's been, just because this one girl started it, it's been like an outbreak of more people doing this. And it's not a challenge. So if you know somebody that's doing it, take them to Area 51. But
yeah, Pam from Michigan.
It's so, yeah, there was a guy, he's like a 36-year-old, and his name was Lenice Lloyd Martin. Lenice, L-E-N-I-S-E, Lenice Lloyd Martin. He literally did the same thing.
He's white.
He's no, it's a brother.
Obviously.
but he scoops. He opens up a. It doesn't look like a full gallon. It might be like a half gallon of Blue Bell. But I don't understand this whole, the whole purpose of licking, you know, a food product and then putting it back in. And so there was this guy that got caught. There's also there was somebody that went to. I guess their Twitter handle is Shawn Mendes, but it's obviously not the singer. But
that's how he ruins his career. He just goes ahead.
Shawn Mendes' albums will now, you know, drop significantly on the iTunes sales charts. But yeah, this guy walks up and he opens up Listerine. Like, this is not even ice cream, but he opened up Listerine, like swishes and gargles with the Listerine for about, you know, 20 seconds, and then spits it back in the Listerine thing, puts the tab back on, and walks off. So there's been a lot of these videos that have been popping up, and like, hygienically, not cool. Like, just common sense, though. Like, people always want, like, a challenge to do. Yeah. We always talk about challenges on the show. If you guys really want a challenge, go pick up, like, you know, go do, like, calculus. Go pick up a calculus class, or, you know, become an engineer, you know, if you really need something to do.
And that's what's shocking is I didn't realize by doing something like this and tampering with, like, let's say a food product, the consequences behind this. So the first girl that I was mentioning who licked the gallon amount of Blue Bell ice cream, she's not only from San Antonio in the San Antonio area, but she could have been charged with second degree felony and up to 20 years in prison for doing something like this.
Yeah, and you know, at least there is a serious, you know, weight behind it, you know, but the people that are, they're sitting there doing this, and they're also recording it, and then they're also posting it to social media, because the only reason why they're doing it is to get attention. So the way they get attention is by posting it to social, and then they get caught. So it's like the whole thing is just cyclical when it like ties
to clout, bro. It's back to clout. It's clout cream. Literally, they're trying to like just get larger clout by doing some outrageous type shit. And obviously, I hope they go into jail, because imagine her in jail where she's like, "Oh, what are you in here for?" And they're like, "Oh, you're the one that licked the fucking Blue Bell." Game over.
Yeah, I mean, she's the one that's in prison, and I guarantee Blue Bell won't be the only thing she's licking when she's in that prison. I'll tell you that.
Hey! So, Nat is something that is somewhat of a challenge that people are saying and doing. As you mentioned, I don't think it's a challenge. I don't think it should be a challenge, but that segues perfectly into our next couple of stories here around challenges, because you and I, we love challenges.
We always mention these challenges that are popping up, and so we had a two-piece, you know, with a biscuit coming up here. The first one is, as everybody I'm sure has heard about, the water bottle challenge, where everybody and their mother is running around, and it's basically, you know, you're trying to kick the top of, you know, the water bottle, you know, the actual, like the top part, you know, the cap.
Yep.
And you actually kick it off with your foot from, you know, a distance. So it's like you're kind of doing a roundhouse kick or whatever. Now, it has actually progressed where a bunch of celebrities doing it, and nobody actually was able to track down the originator of this, you know, quote unquote challenge. But, you know, you have actors like Jason Statham.
I saw his.
Athletes.
Yep.
Actually, John Bones Jones, a UFC fighter, went to do it, faked everybody out. Like, he started to spin, stopped, turned around and just like twist the cap off his hand.
Yeah.
Sansa, the female that played, or, well, I don't actually know her, the actual actress's name, but Sansa from Game of Thrones, the girl that plays Jean Grey in, like, the X-Men movies, whatever.
Yep.
She actually was about to, quote-unquote, do that challenge on the plane. She, like, faked everybody out and actually requested. She said, "Everybody stop doing this. This is dumb." Like, she yelled at the camera, but it was asking for it to be stopped because it just kept going around.
But they won't stop, and we all know this. I mean, what was the best one that you saw? The best I wanted to share, the best one that I saw was really impressive. This dude had a full-on mullet, and he actually flipped his mullet to actually hit the cap and unscrew, which I'm like, that is definitely pretty impressive to do.
One, was it Joe Dirt? And then two, that's a strong-ass mullet for it to be able to actually take a bottle top off. Now, the one that I saw that was pretty fire, of course, was the Kardashian-Jenner family. It was Kendall. Kendall Jenner, she rolled up on a jet ski.
Okay.
Kind of like power slid while she was riding the jet ski. It was a slow slide. Like, she was coming to a break, whatever. But she turned the jet ski and then just had her foot out, you know, almost in like a kind of scorpion type situation. And flicked it, you know, did the bottle challenge real smooth. And showed that she is, you know, a force to be reckoned with. So, you know, shout outs to Kendall Jenner.
So, everyone obviously continued the challenges, continued the water bottle challenge. This next one here is another challenge that I feel as if is going to be the demise of our country, because we're giving more data and more content to one of our somewhat enemies in this world, to good old Russia. So this next challenge that we were actually, I put some of our homies on within a group text, so yes. I'm part to blame as well, is the face app challenge. So what this face app challenge consists of is you can essentially upload a photo of yourself. And you can make yourself look, you know, a decade, 2 decades younger, or of course you can look at yourself as someone who's very old as well. So I've done this. I know. Have you done this yet?
I have not. So, you know, if you guys have listened to any of the past episodes, all the challenges past the ice bucket challenge, I pretty much don't do, because it's just this whole challenge culture of like, oh, we're going to just do whatever called a challenge. And like I said,
oh, it's a sheep movement for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Just like, you know, go be an engineer or something. But so the whole thing with this, technically, we've always talked about the challenges. You, in fact, did start like our fantasy football group text that we have. We got a fantasy football group text where it's all the guys from the league. You sent this out to everybody, and he actually sent a photo of J-Rob, sent a photo of himself all aged up, you know, on Metamucil, just kicking it. And like everybody else, he was, hey, you guys got to get on this. There was at least half the group chat.
Within minutes.
And so now, the only issue with this, because everybody, this kind of ties to like that Facebook challenge where it's like, post something of you from like, you know, 10 years ago versus now, or whatever that one was, you know, a couple months back or whatever. People, they basically use that information and data for an algorithm to do aging stuff. So when they came up with like the baby filter and all that other stuff,
yep,
that was tied to that challenge. So now you have Russia, who now owns 150 million Americans' info, basically.
And that's what's shocking and crazy. So obviously, it's like your iTunes when you upgrade to the latest iTunes version. No one actually reads what that consists of. So you could be signing your life away. In the Face app, there's actually a non-disclosure where you're signing up when you actually download the app, where it says you grant Face app a perpetual worldwide fully paid transferable sub-license to reproduce, modify, adapt, publish, translate, or be able to use the content that you upload to this media platform. So you could be, well, you haven't done this yet, but I could literally be on a billboard right now in Moscow,
right? Yeah.
For a Cialis type ad or something insane.
It'll be right like now. Vodka or something, you know, something good.
I hope it's as trendy as vodka. I hope it's not just like, you know, an AIDS ad, and it's my fucking 75-year-old commercial right there.
We can all hope for just, you know, I enjoy an occasional Tito's, but we can all hope for just something, you know, as good as a vodka ad.
And we do have the doctor in the building as well, who has, have you done the app challenge yet, the face app challenge yet, and what are your thoughts on it?
I mean, it's hard enough looking in the mirror and seeing what I already have to see. I don't need to make it look older to enjoy any of this, I promise you that, but I mean, you're right. You could have your picture on a Cialis ad or fucking worse. But either way, it's not just your picture. It's a picture of you at your fucking worst. You're going to look like you're about to die, and it's not even you. So, I mean, that's the real problem there. Damn.
Russia's always got their hands in good stuff. So, yeah, basically anybody that did the face app challenge, quote unquote, you are now owned by Russia.
I mean, it's a combination of multiple things that are happening right now. So not only the imagery of who you are as a person, your conversations are being recorded through Alexa and these Google Voice type platforms that are out there now. So, I mean, what's next on the horizon? What do you think's next?
I mean, I'm just hoping that it's just the face app. But, you know, since they do have all access to all everybody's photos that did this, you know, there might be a twist where it's like, oh, you got nudes out there, they're going to age the body too. And then you have, you know,
I mean,
senior citizens.
Speaking of news, do you not remember like last episode recorded in that loan company in Asia they used nudes as collateral?
And they use those people, age them, you know, body shame them or elderly shame them, whatever you want to call that. And then, you know, it's going to be a slippery slope. Once you get started with this algorithms, AI, and all that other stuff, and just giving away your data.
It's only a matter of time, to summarize, that the whole world's going to be Fifth Element, which was a great movie. And I hope I'm Bruce Willis, ultimately, in that movie. So speaking of craziness with the challenges and, of course, being owned by Russia, this leads us into our next story, which actually is about Russia.
Yeah, so we had a Russian bodybuilder who, for whatever reason, you know, back to common sense, whatever reason, decided to inject his biceps with oil. And so by doing so, I believe that his biceps grew to about 24 inches, 24-inch biceps, whatever. So the guy's name is Kirill Tereshin. And they named him Popeye after, you know, he's got a skinny frame, as they say, but due to this oil, 24-inch biceps. So the problem was he injected the oil into his biceps, and now his arms are deteriorating. And so he's trying to raise funds right now in order to pay for a treatment, you know, pay for a surgery to save his arms, because I guess as they're deteriorating, he also can't really put his arms down to the side. They kind of like sit up, and it's like a weird.
I mean,
weird look.
You have to look at a photo of these. He literally looks like my scrawny body, but with these ginormous Hulk mania arms, and being able to do this. So what is he doing? Like a GoFundMe in order to fucking get his arms fixed?
I mean, that's what it seems like. I don't think they actually posted what platform he used in order to request these funds. But yeah, this guy, he was in the army. He was, or at least in the military service. And he said that he used to go to the gym for about 2 years before he got called to service. And then, you know, he said that in the army he was worried that he'd have a hard time, and he'd be, you know, losing weight. So he decided to try. It's called synthol oil.
Okay.
And that's what he had injected, you know, into his arms. And so when he finished his, you know, service in the military, he, as he called it, he began transforming himself, and he did everything at home, and. You know, his mom, you know, we always talk about moms on the show. His mom was very worried about him. And he said that he's okay now because now, you know, they know that the synthol can be removed. But the issue is he has to have surgery. Like, he has to pay to have surgery to get this, you know, taken out. And it's like.
Yeah, and I see part of it where it's like the doctors might have to actually amputate his arms if this goes south.
Yeah, if it continues to deteriorate at this rate. And it's, the thing that's crazy is, you know, I don't even think that, like, it was The Rock. He's always like a big, you know, workout, you know, movie star type person. I don't think The Rock has like 24-inch biceps. It's like, why would you even try to push the envelope that far?
24-inch biceps?
Because you literally,
that's my fucking waist.
You can't even, like, and how does he find shirts? You know, on top of all that, how do you find shirts? It's like, you have
he doesn't. Literally, every single image that we're seeing here, he doesn't have a shirt on because there's no shirts that are going to cater to that type of arm movement.
Like, medically, this is going to be crazy. I mean, I hope that this guy gets the funds that he needs in the right time, because if he does, in fact, you know, keep fucking around with this synthol oil and keep injecting, like, I'm just glad that he at least just stopped at the biceps and he wasn't trying to do some other, like, calf implants or whatever else, you know, because he literally would have to pay, like, you know, 500 racks.
Yeah, I mean, he literally looks like a modern-day Popeye. He's the Russian Popeye, for sure. Just ultimately, the end goal there, and we do have a doctor in the building, so we'd love to get your intake here, but just work out regularly, right? It's not a matter of injecting yourself with oil or doing steroids, because that can lead to other terrible things, but just casually work out.
You've got it right on the head, man. Like, I literally lost 75 pounds by just working out, eating whatever I wanted, but in lighter portions. You don't have to just go crazy on everything. Just don't be a total dick to yourself, you know? Like, work out regularly enough to get you in shape, and then just, you know, chill on eating so much.
And just don't inject your biceps with synthol. Don't inject your biceps with anything, actually. Yeah,
I mean, I wish you were my doctor. That professional medical opinion right there, I'd visit you for probably a month, and you're just like, just chill.
Just don't be a dick to your body. But Yeah, so we'll find out eventually if this guy gets all the funds for it. I'm sure he will, because, you know.
Oh, there's going to be people who are contributing to this just right. to see him hopefully not get his arms amputated.
So at least there should be some closure for that. So I'm hopeful for that guy. Another crazy story that we have. So the title of the article that I just had to laugh because it was so good. It's called Drug in a Rug.
I mean, this guy is so legendary. So the overview here is a Colombian man was actually trying to sneak more than a pound of cocaine into Spain, was caught with the package actually hidden. Where was it hidden? Underneath his toupee.
The drug in a rug. Yeah, so this guy was a 65-year-old man. They did not name him, I guess, to protect the identity of the person, which they normally don't do, but, you know, cool, whatever. He tried to smuggle more than a pound of coke in his toupee. And it's like, you know, when you take a flight, you know, they have, like, the body scanners. They have, like, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Smuggling any type of cocaine just into the airport in and of itself would seem troublesome. But this guy, you know, because, you know, a toupee is supposed to hover above your head, you know, several inches, he decides to actually put the cocaine under his toupee. And the photos of how the hair is sitting on top of his head, this is, like, one of the funniest things. Like, it looks obvious. Like,
he looks like a male, like, Marge Simpson. Like, when you look at it, he literally tried to smuggle around 30,000, the equivalent of $33,000 worth of cocaine. And TSA in Spain, if that's what they're called, they were saying, like, how they actually saw him and were looking at him. So the unidentified man who was dressed he was dressed pretty standard. He looked like he was just going to a regular office job.
Right.
He was behaving very suspiciously as he made through his way through the airport. You could tell he was sweating. And you can just tell by people's attitude. He was very nervous, and it was noticeable to pass the security checkpoint. And he just had it casually on top of his head.
Yeah, and so it's funny because the way the article starts off, they say, as far as drug smuggling plans go, this one probably should have been gone over with a fine-tooth comb. And I mean, just whoever was his you know, contact or his pusher or whatever, I would think that they could have at least looked at him and just been like, yeah, man, your toupee is sitting like 4 or 5 inches above your head. You probably need to not do this. But yeah, I mean, just common sense wise, the police said that his toupee was very curious. And the agents, you know, have a lot of expertise, and they tend to pay attention to people's attitude. So he was, I guess, noticeably nervous, and he was about to pass the security checkpoint. So the combination of his nervousness and that lousy toupee work that he had with the coke, I mean,
like, this is such a shitty type of way to get arrested here. Do you think he improvised? Like, do you think he got really nervous and had it, like, attached to his leg or something, but via tape or duct tape or something? And then he just was like, fuck it, let's see if this goes down.
Through a toupee.
There's no way, like, as you mentioned, the dealers were like, I know a great idea. You're balding, you have a toupee, we'll just stick it on top of your head. Or was he like the laughing stop in the circle and we're like, let's see if fucking Juan gets through with just this cocaine below his toupee. What do you think about, like, how that even came about?
Well, so I was about to ask you this question instead.
Go.
You know, because there could have been a language barrier, you know, from you know, Spanish to English or whatever. But, you know, back in the day with the old school presidents, you had John Adams and all those guys, they had powdered wigs. Did this guy...
I love how this is how this is coming.
Did this guy just misinterpret the idea of a powdered wig and literally be like, oh, well, if the old school forefathers of America can do it, sure, I'm going to make it through with
a powdered wig. So let me ask you this. Are you saying that he looked at our U.S. dollar money and was like, they're colonials, I can be a colonial.
Powdered wigs, there it is. I mean, that's literally the way that this toupee is, like, and we'll post it to social. The way that this toupee is sitting on top of this cat's dome, there's no way that just logistically he thought that this would work. Unless he was looking back at the forefathers and thought, like, this is a true powdered wig, you know, with all this yay. This is crazy.
So the doctor would like to absolutely jump in on this. Feel free.
Listen, when it comes down to it, what it really is just a crime of fear. This guy knows that there's only two ways to get this job done, and he can't take it. You either swallow it, or you fucking take it up the ass like a champ. and you can't do it. So he put it on top of his head. He got caught. He deserved it. One more guy that we don't really want walking around the streets.
Boom. You heard, you heard it first from the doctor. That's the medical opinion here. So just to full circle here as we're wrapping up this episode, this last one is definitely going to tickle you, especially if you have kids or young little ones around in your life. It's actually a story based here in Florida.
Yeah, so as everybody knows, the popular Baby Shark song, you know, I believe it's, you know, it goes like Baby Shark, and it kicks in. It even got so much traction that at an EDM, or it might have been Coachella actually, the DJ started with regular house music and then transitioned into Baby Shark, and the crowd went insane. Like, they started foaming at the mouth, they're jumping around screaming, whatnot. So down in West Palm Beach, there was an issue at a city-owned banquet facility, and it was an issue with homeless people where they were actually just, they kept going to the patio of this, you know, banquet facility and sleeping. So, you know, logistically, what would you think to do? Would you, you know, spray pepper spray, hose them, you know, put a fence up? No. What the city decided to do was they decided to play Baby Shark and some other song called Reina Tacos, but Baby Shark specifically.
Mainly Baby Shark.
And just played it on loop so that these homeless people would get so tired of hearing Baby Shark, they would get up and leave the area.
Which, so many things are unraveling here in this story. So West Palm Beach, obviously, it's a very popular destination for events. I think in the article here, it says the facility around the area hosted actually 164 events from June 1st to June 30th of this year within a 12-month cycle. Most of those were weddings, and the workers the next day in the mornings were finding unsanitary things like human feces around the lake. So they were literally blasting Baby Shark on repeat, thinking that these homeless people would be able to listen to that and leave. Do they not understand how humanly engaged these homeless people are and how mentally unstable they are? Do you think that that type of music, that would almost incline them to stay, in my opinion? What are your thoughts?
Well, so there was one homeless man by the name of, I believe, Ilalia Champion, and he told the newspaper that it had asked him that the music's not going to bother him. He's like, I still lay down there, but it's on and on, the same songs. And I guess the main person that, you know, controls the recreation, the Parks and Recreation Department, the director's name is Leah Rockwell. Leah Rockwell said that it's actually been an effective measure, but it's temporary, but it's been an effective measure to make the area accessible, you know, for people that aren't homeless. So I guess enough Baby Shark on loop will, you'll either just keep singing it so much, or that, you know, I guess it drove enough of the homeless people crazy where, you know, it cleared up the hall banquet, or the city banquet hall, so that, you know, people could actually go there and enjoy. So Baby Shark doing it big.
So think about this strategy. Now Lena, who was the person who implemented this strategy, what she's thinking is that is going to allow people to exit. So what, now whenever someone wants other people to leave, let's say at a bar, when, you know, it's last call, they're going to fucking play Baby Shark just over and over again in order to remove the patrons within the establishment.
And what's even crazier about that whole thing, too, is that in this article, it actually says that the city has tried to weaponize music before. So they had some other issues going on, and they're like, all right, you know, we need to bring out the big guns. What do you got? So when they wanted to get rid of drug dealers, their big guns were classical music. They played classical music on the rooftop speakers, and they put it in protective casings or whatever. Apparently, those speakers were eventually smashed. So the drug dealers got tired of that classical music. But, you know, this weaponized music, this is some new stuff. Like, in a day and age of Area 51, you know, people licking food, people with all these challenges, guys injecting oil into their arms to be like Popeye and powdered wig, you know, drugs in a rug's people. We have now what you've all seen, which is weaponized music.
I mean, this whole episode has just been action-packed across the scale with all different genres of styles and certain scenarios. Now, literally anytime I hear the Baby Shark, I'm going to be like, do I need to leave? Is that what you're saying right now? We have had a great episode here. We'd like to thank the doctor for joining us today.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. And as always,
peace.